Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. We are talking about how to stop punishing yourself. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Hi, Shireen.
I'm laughing even before it starts.
Well, we were laughing about it because this is something that neither one of us particularly has this passion to punish ourselves. But
I have a healthy, healthy respect for myself that I don't punish myself.
Which, by the way, I think there's an interesting piece on that, and that is, it isn't that you are less, that you're an egoist if you have a healthy view of yourself. To the contrary, you probably have, if you have a healthy view of yourself, that can be for in a non-attached environment, in a non-attached way. So why do people punish themselves?
You know, I feel that none of us are innocent in terms of punishment. If we are not forgiving ourselves, which is another form of punishing yourself, we are not forgiving ourselves, I feel that we are making the same mistake. Let's say I did something and I didn't forgive myself for that. If I stopped it, I think in our heart we would have that capacity to forgive ourselves or to stop punishing ourselves because of the mistake. But if I continue to make the mistake, I don't change, then I feel instinctively, we all know that I haven't changed. I'm doing the same thing over and over again. I'm doing the same thing wrong. And that's when we punish ourselves.
So you just made me recall a friend who is almost always late, 99% of the time late. And he'll go through this, oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. I'm just a terrible person. I'm not organized. Da-da. Goes through this punishment thing every time. And I've asked myself, is it just easier to go through the ritual than it is to be on time? And I don't have an answer.
No, but it's a pattern, right?
Yeah.
We all actually fall into very unhealthy patterns, whether it's patterns of thinking, patterns of being with people, patterns of doing. And it's really important to watch as a detached observer the patterns you're falling yourself into. It's just easier. It's like the law of inertia or something like that. You know, it's easier to keep doing it because that's the pattern you've fallen into.
Which is, brain science would say that that's how habits are formed, that it puts the little grooves and how the synapses fire in a predictable order. One of the patterns that I've paid attention to in the week since we've decided to do this topic is a lot of people feel that God is punishing them and disapproving of them, and so they're almost doing preemptive strikes.
They punish themselves, then
right.
God won't
punish
them.
If I punish myself first to show how sorry I am, then that makes me a better person. I think it was Heinrich Heine who said, "Of course, God will forgive my sins. That's his job." I kind of like that. Is that how the Brahma Kumaris?
Yeah. Actually, remember what we were laughing about just now? How we perceive, we project whatever I am going through onto the other person.
Exactly.
And in the Bible, it says God created us in His image, and I feel the mistake we make is we create God in our image.
Right.
And so, God in the Brahma Kumaris, God is the ocean of forgiveness. He's so, the ocean of benevolence, actually. He has complete benevolence for everyone. And so it's, if I am doing the right things, then I will open myself up to the capacity of God's forgiveness.
Like,
so I need to create a capacity in myself to forgive, to accept forgiveness from God. And so if I'm not accepting it, that means I'm not creating a reservoir enough for
Absolutely.
That acceptance.
So that really is maybe one of the big how-tos, is to create a space is for forgiveness. And that starts with forgiving ourselves.
And
for God
others.
To forgive
yes,
us.
Yes.
But you just made me think of, I think it was Alfred Korzybski, the father of general semantics, who said something like, God will forgive your sins, but your nervous system won't. In a funny way, if we somehow think we're being more moral by being angry, by fussing at ourselves, scolding ourselves, doing things to ourselves to show, I mean, you know, the medieval hitting of the straps just as, you know, penance, That's a different game than just releasing one translation of forgiveness in Christianity is the Aramaic version, is to as Jesus spoke in Aramaic, is to untie the knot.
Yeah.
That means it's almost the go and sin no more. There now it is forgiven because there's no knot left, as opposed to, as Paul said,
yeah,
it's to allow it.
You know, in the Brahma Kumaris, we believe that forgiveness happens if you stop doing it.
Ah, nice.
So, yes, you have to acknowledge you've done something wrong, but you have to stop doing it to really have forgiveness, whether it's yours or whether it's others or whether it's God's. You have to stop doing it.
So here's an interesting psychological game people play. If I'm not horrible to myself, fussing at myself, scolding myself, and I'll take something like smoking, because I had a number of, when I was a college professor, I had a number of students, because they knew how I felt about smoking. Dr. Bagley, I'm really working at it. I'm down to so many cigarettes per day, 5 per day, and I hate myself every time I smoke one. And I found myself going, I don't think that's the way to quit. If you're going to smoke 5 a day,
enjoy them.
Enjoy them immensely. And then it's easier than if you fuss at yourself because you smoke because your anxiety is high. And it does lower anxiety temporarily. And also, enjoy it and watch how it feels to be down to 4. I mean, you've gone from 30 to 5. Don't hate yourself. In a funny way, the very thing we use to try to make ourselves a better person may be making us do a behavior that we don't want to do, that we do want to drop. Smoking, drinking, gambling, those types of things. Maybe
some addictions, I do agree. I did hear, I personally don't have much experience with this, but I did hear that smoking is a very addictive behavior and it's not that easy to get rid of. And so the reason I'm just using smoking as an example, it's not that specific thing,
yeah,
is that there are some addictive behaviors, whether it's thought patterns, whether it's punishing yourself, could be a thought pattern that you've created, a pattern that you've created in your life that you're not able to. So you need to really seek help from someone you trust.
I, at one point in my life, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Now, this was not a long time. This was during my army times. And I stopped right away. Now, I take one inhalation, this is before patches or anything, a day of a cigar, just to feel the nicotine in my lungs, felt like a bobcat. But I did, I went from 3 packs a day to nothing. And after a week, I think it could have been 10 days, I didn't have my one big inhalation. So I can tell you it is difficult, but the difficult thing for me was the patterns. In the military, you can only put your cigarettes in certain places. The first place I would unconsciously do is pat up here. Then I'd find myself unconsciously patting there. And the last place you can keep them is in your socks. And I'd be down to my socks before I'd consciously say, "Ah, we quit smoking," and stop it. So it is hard, but I am here to tell you, and again, I don't think I have what's called an addictive personality, but for a couple years I was smoking too much. Innies too much. So in that pattern, it is our thought patterns, our habit, our unconscious thoughts that sometimes drive us to that.
Yeah, and so to really watch, you know, and also just being an observer of the pattern sometimes changes the pattern.
Yes.
And so to really watch that pattern.
To be aware of it.
And to be aware of it. And also one of the things I always feel is to have mercy on yourself.
I love that.
And mercy is such a wonderful thing because I feel God is the ocean of mercy and compassion. And so even if I'm not able to have mercy on myself, I always think of God's quality of mercy. And when I think of God's quality of mercy, then I feel it kind of permeates to me, that quality of mercy. And it's easier to not think about the past, to really be merciful. And I feel part of being merciful to yourself is not just this mushy feeling,
yeah,
oh, I'm merciful to myself, but also I'm doing things that are right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm creating patterns that are right. I'm creating patterns that are not harmful and uncomfortable.
Right. That's so, the awareness, being merciful to ourselves,
Not thinking about the past.
Not thinking about the past, which is, again, huge.
Yeah. And one other thing is, it's a very important step in punishing yourself. And you might ask me how this is connected, but it is you don't look at others and you don't blame others.
Uh-huh. How is that connect? No. Not looking at, not comparing yourself to others, I think, is important. Because if you say, well, I saw Dan, he stopped overnight or in a week. But that doesn't mean that that is what another person's path would be. Comparing ourselves to how we were a month ago, would you have that as an allowance? I'm doing better
yes,
than I was?
Yes, I'm doing better than I was. To see your attainments, to see your progress is very important if you are progressing. But also not blaming others.
I like that part.
As part of this mercy for the self, as part of not punishing, is the blame game that we play. We blame ourselves. We blame our parents. We have this sense of entitlement that we should have received this because of this or that, and then the patterns begin. And so, indirectly, if you want to create the right pattern in your life, the right pattern for action or thought or anything, you have to not blame. The whole blame game should go away.
So blaming yourself is probably the opposite side of the coin of blaming others. It's still the blame game.
Yeah, but we do blame others. You know, I know people, adult people who still blame their parents for how their childhood turned out. And I always feel that mistakes that parents made is you have to forgive that first thing. You have to forgive that. You have to go past that because they've tried the best they can. They did whatever they could at that point, and we have to move on because we really are harming ourselves when we don't move on.
Absolutely. And the punishing, striking out at others and striking it out of ourselves still has underlying it an aggression, I think, that probably can be melted with more loving thoughts, more kindness.
Right. I feel the two things that would really help is to keep your mind peaceful and to keep your face smiling.
Uh-huh. You know, that face smiling now, that's, I'll say, almost laughable. There is some interesting research that has come of all things that Botox injections, which keep people from frowning or keep people from furrowing their brow, I clearly have not had that. Yeah, that will make people happy, they believe, because they ran correlations on having had this, because you're not using those frown muscles that trigger I'm unhappy. Now, I find that a little extreme personally for that, but that's an interesting
thought. But maybe it's actually worth looking at. You know, maybe you create a pattern of smiling 10 times. Look at the mirror, look at yourself, and just smile. You know, you don't have any reason to smile, but just smile.
If we have that habit, I think we start seeing more reasons to smile.
Yeah.
If we are frowning and being unhappy, I think we find more reasons to be unhappy. If I announce that I'm having a terrible day, then I put a bit of a pall on my ability to be happy and more carefree.
Yeah. For me, the other part, of course, is the keep the mind peaceful.
Yes.
And I feel to keep the mind peaceful, you have to reflect on good things. You have to reflect on wisdom. You have to reflect on life's deeper truths.
Yeah.
And so that also changes our patterns.
And that gives us
destructive patterns.
Probably the most common piece of advice that comes out of our conversations is that meditation is one of the ways of getting to that peaceful place. Not just in the 20 minutes to an hour, whatever we take in meditation in the morning, but throughout the day, having a meditative approach. creates all of those others to let go of those punishing thoughts.
Yeah. The other thing I would recommend people is to read a scripture.
Ah, very nice.
I mean, of course, they could come to the Brahma Kumaris and read our Murli, what we call, but listen to our Murli. But whatever religion they are in,
exactly.
To really read the scripture, not to discard it. You know, I know some people who say, oh, I don't like the Bible and this and that, or I don't like this or that. But they all have something which is eternal and everlasting, which really helps the
right.
soul. It helps the spiritual aspect of a person.
Something that makes the heart feel a little happier.
Yeah.
A little less.
It changes. It's not necessarily that you would agree with it, or it's not necessarily that immediately you would feel this happiness or anything, but it changes your thought pattern because you're thinking about a deeper aspect of life.
Good. Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan.
I hope this was helpful for you. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.